it's so awesome that you're from the other end of the radio. You are why we are here on the dial. A radio station is nothing without its listeners, and that includes you. Thank you for tuning your ears to our broadcast signal.
Welcome to FCAT After School, a podcast from SFU's Faculty of Communication, Art, and Technology. In each episode, we join student hosts in conversation with alumni as they explore career journeys since graduation and gather advice for the next generation. In this episode, host Emma Jean, a fifth-year student in the School of Communication, sits down with FCAT Film School graduate Cameron Maitland. Cameron is a film and content specialist at Hollywood Suite, a Canadian media company that screens and promotes films through cable, streaming, and social media. There, Cam is the face of their online presence, curating and creating content about films and infectiously advocating for what makes them so great. Recorded remotely from his Toronto office, Cam provided insight into the desire to make art, the need to make money, and collaboration and community as the backbone of the filmmaking world.
How do you marry your career and your passions? Is it possible? If it is possible, does making money off your passions strip you of your, well, passion? These are thoughts that come up in nearly every conversation I have with other students, anxiously staring down their graduation date. Thank goodness there are people who can speak to this from experience. This week's guest is one of those people who may have found a way to have both. How are you feeling today?
Fine, you know, Monday. same old. Just a lot of catching up. We're also, starting a shoot tomorrow, so a lot going on. One of our TV shows is just a doc series, talking head sort of thing, but we're kicking it off as always.
Cameron Maitland is an SFU graduate with a Bachelor of Fine Arts in Film, and now works as the resident film and content specialist for the media company Hollywood Suite. If you have cable, or if your parents have cable, you may have seen their channels dedicated to showcasing film from across the 20th century. Yeah, whenever I visit home and see my parents, and they have cable, I always enjoy putting on Hollywood Suite and seeing what's on. It's like, oh, Moonstruck is on. Let's sit down and watch that. It's the best.
You love him, Loretta?
Well, I love him awful.
Oh, God, that's too bad.
Hollywood Suite makes film-related content across social media, television, and, you guessed it, even podcasts. You could say that Cam makes a living out of all things film.
I do think that there's a lot of my job that does, read as dream job-ish. Being paid to do movie stuff at all, I feel very lucky. I know a lot of extremely talented people that just don't have an outlet that pays them. A lot of people I know who are the most passionate about movies do it for free. You know, they're blogging, they're writing, they're just watching stuff because they care so much about it. So I do feel very lucky in that regard.
Today, we'll be talking to Cam about his career and what helped him get there along the way. You'll hear about the benefits of connecting with program cohorts, the team ethic that he developed during film school that has stuck with him throughout his life, and the advice he would give to students looking to enter the creative industries today. Fade in, an Albertan classroom, the late 1990s. A young man sits at a desk, tapping a pencil against it. He's deciding what he wants his future to be.
I went to fine arts, and they had a pretty good film course, and I just kind of enjoyed that, and did a lot of it in high school. I had kind of a varied background in theater and classical music as well, and neither of those really seemed like something I wanted to go on and continue doing. But film also kind of combines a lot of those elements, so just seemed like a good way to go. I grew up in Edmonton. At the time, there was not a lot of film programs in Alberta that were that well regarded. Part of it was my grades. A lot of places required a lot of math and science, which I wasn't very good at. But SFU required more of a submission of creative intent to get in.
Studying film at SFU meant learning every aspect of film production, but also working to find his niche within it.
It was a lot of training, like literal training on various forms. We were still shooting on film. We were still recording sound on tape. A lot of the program, because it was kind of focused on experimental film, there was a lot of that. I think what I was really interested in at the time was writing. I wasn't as focused on directing at the time because it just kind of seemed like that's what everyone said. Writing was really my focus, but at the start of my degree, it definitely was learning all this different technology, learning kind of theories, lighting, all of that stuff. It just felt like there was kind of a lot to take on before you understood the greater world of filmmaking.
With the high level of collaboration, on-the-fly learning, and vulnerability needed to progress throughout the program, it seemed natural that the students within it would bond. Cam was no exception.
I definitely think the thing that you are like secretly learning the whole time in film school is just working. Well, film is by necessity a collaborative medium. As you learn, you are also just learning to be on sets, be with other people. I am still friends with a lot of these people. And it has actually, as our careers develop and change, it makes a big difference to like, you know somebody who's out winning awards or whatever, or somebody who is very good at X or Y, you know, and now, you know, people know me and I work at a TV channel. I'm like, I can help you with grants. I can help you with whatever. There is something there.
Soon, Cam was fresh out of SFU with a shiny new Bachelor of Fine Arts degree in film, ready to take on the cinema world. Unfortunately, his timing was, though through no fault of his own, a bit off.
I graduated in 2007, so we were kind of on the cusp of the horrible economic downturn of 2008, which really did kind of rattle the BC industry.
Without access to the potential film jobs he dreamed of, Cam went looking for any job that would let him write.
I think for the most part, just about everybody kind of looked aside from film because we just needed to pay rent and what have you. One of the big things in Burnaby near SFU, a job you could always get was working for Electronic Arts. I ended up doing a few things in the video game industry. And then eventually I kind of started getting these jobs where I could write essentially digital copywriting. So something like Yelp, for instance, they paid me to walk around a neighborhood, take a photo of every business, write down their like hours. And that was like the basis for what Yelp was. And it paid pretty well. And I ended up doing various things like that, working a lot on early social media.
As time went on and the BC film and television industry remained seemingly unviable, Cam began to set his sights elsewhere.
Kept looking for film stuff. The writing stuff, the opportunities weren't there. And Toronto seemed the better place for that. I especially wanted to work in pre-production and writing. And just knowing that there was production offices, there was so much more in Toronto. And eventually, you know, I cracked in with various internships. My first big thing was working on a TV show that I don't think airs anymore, but it was called Out There with Melissa DeMarco. It was like a celebrity interview show. I did research. Again, it was really relying on my knowledge of movies. And from there, you know, yeah, just lots of different jobs, as you can think. That also skipped like so many jobs, but it was a lot of, you know, you just got to make ends meet. You got to network with all these other filmmakers and try to get stuff done.
Those, quote, so many jobs that Cam just skimmed over, those included a number of gigs in marketing, a field he knew nothing about. So, just like back in film school, this meant learning by doing and making it up as he went along.
Honestly, you're developing a set of skills as you go that you don't realize you have. I think a lot of people don't get that. That they, yeah, you just have secretly been hoarding all this kind of knowledge and stuff. Like when I talk about, I had this background and like that's 90% of experiential marketing. And yeah, you can just kind of hold on to that for the rest of your life and it suddenly emerges when you need it.
Could you tell me more about your experience with, what was it, theater and improv?
Yeah. That was just a thing I loved in high school. We did Canadian improv games. We had an improv team. We won a few awards. It's the basic stuff you can do anywhere. I honestly really promote it with people I know. I think that improv is a big part of business and a big part of confidence, like a lot of anxiety. If you get better at improv, you'll still be anxious, but you have strategies to deal with it. You don't need to be able to be great at comedy to use these various skills. And I do just think it's, I don't know, there's something there that I find comes up in all of my work.
Cam was soon able to yes and his way into more and more marketing opportunities for brands like Nintendo. He created branded video content and used his improv skills in what's called experiential marketing, which saw him standing on street corners asking passerbys to play a game or try out a new product.
You learn what you learn in film and communications that is about like what people buy and don't buy and what have you.
It was at this time that the SFU cohort that Cam had formed connections to all those years ago came in handy professionally, getting connected to positions through the friends and colleagues he met through his film program.
We all keep in touch and help each other out when we can and when there are opportunities. Because again, it's people that we enjoy working with a lot of the time.
When we come back, we'll see the film and marketing worlds collide as Cameron Maitland joins Hollywood Suite. Welcome back to the After School Podcast. Before the break, we followed this episode's protagonist, Cameron Maitland, on his journey through film school and economic recession and improv-based marketing. All of these things led to Cam's current role at Hollywood Suite, although the path to get there wasn't as straightforward as you might expect.
So I'll try to speed through it, because it's like, unless you are exactly me in my exact circumstances, you cannot get a job this way. They were at the time doing a screening series that were like a quote-along series. A comedian had dropped out on them, and the marketing person was like, you know movies really well, you're funny, do this. From there, there was a project where they needed a lot of copywriting and they needed a lot of Instagram. I had done an Instagram project about Canadian film, and this was just for fun on my own. And they showed that to the president and he liked it. So I came and kind of did a similar thing for National Canadian Film Day for them. And then I did a summer's worth of work for them. At the same time, it's like worth saying I was working one of my old jobs, which was like an ad servicing job, just kind of struggling to make ends meet. And then I just kind of started looping contracts pretty regularly with Hollywood Suite. A couple years into that, I was offered a full-time job. Definitely my background in social media marketing was a large part of my, and I also did a lot of data entry, just trying to find ways I could help out. The company, I think, was just starting to grow more when I started, and I became sort of an example of how you could bring in more money as well as, expand what can be done.
Cam's role entails a mix of marketing, producing, writing shows, programming, content creation, public relations, branding, and writing grants. It's quite the combination.
It's an interesting role because it's a bit mixed. So my job really started off just being the face of the channel. I did stuff for award shows. I started off doing kind of like live casts for the Independent Spirit Awards. Then I moved on to writing a lot for them. Again, they just had a need for a lot of content, and I started doing social media marketing for them. They had not really maximize their use of social media. So we started doing a lot more on Instagram, on Twitter, and yeah, now it's moved on to TikTok as well. This month I want to celebrate one of the most fun friendships in action film history, and that's the friendship of Jackie Chan, Sammo Hung, and Yuen Biao in Wheels on Meals from 1984. And on top of that, just through my work at Hollywood Suite, I now also do a lot of programming and working with the programming team. I also work with the original productions team. Every TV channel in Canada gets a purse of money that they have to use on Canadian productions. And also we have the ability to access grants for a film. So I review a lot of scripts and work with directors and stuff from a producer angle, just trying to get more movies made.
Like back at film school, he seems to be doing a bit of everything to make the operation run smoothly. What is that like?
It's definitely complicated. I think it involves a lot more checking in with higher ups and things like that. Especially now that it's become remote, it can be quite messy. But I also think it's quite related to film. Like, as you know, especially independent film, you're stuck doing all this different stuff. I do like it, though. I like having different tasks and things like that. I will also say that it does, with the same feeling of chaos from like how I became to this career, there is such a chaotic feeling within the job sometimes that you're like, well, you know, if I was ever to not be working here, like I would have to like find a way to brand what I've done. It's so unique and built for me.
This sort of creative leeway has meant that Cam has been able to develop a role with room for him to decide where he wants to focus his energy based on his own ideas and strengths.
You know, I've worked here for like over 5 years, so I think you just develop a level of trust that gives you a certain creative freedom. So I do think that people will probably realize that in the world of work, there is a lot of flexibility. You can always pitch stuff. You won't necessarily be in a position where the people care or will help you with it, but I do think that everyone is usually pretty open to that kind of... If you're pitching things, if you're offering other kinds of work within your job that suit your job, you're like a go-getter. It's all positive. So I do think that if you have the energy and drive to be a little more creative within your role, it's usually appreciated. You just kind of have to make sure, again, yeah, don't give your best ideas away unless you have control over them.
Cam also shared some advice on how to help conserve your creative energy as an aspiring writer, so that there's fuel left in the tank to keep going after your dreams.
I do kind of believe in the philosophy of, if somebody is listening to this and is really passionate about writing, if you can get a job that you don't write, it really does help you have energy to write later. Like, you can definitely use up all your reserves writing. And I remember sitting through, can't remember the guy's name, but it was a great screenwriting seminar in Vancouver, and he wrote on, at the time, Stargate Atlantis, but he said that the only way he became a writer was to manage a Starbucks, because he said, you know, you didn't really have to think, you could kind of save all your energy and go home and write. And I do feel that way sometimes, of like, yeah, these jobs, when you just write all day, all you want to do is not write.
I know what he means. After writing a term paper, the last thing I want to do is come home and write more, no matter how guilty I feel about neglecting my projects. Anyways, I wondered what happened to Cam's film school dreams of selling screenplays and making projects with his friends. Was he still working on those?
I do wish I was maybe just doing more creative stuff on my own. I do a lot of art and stuff just for fun. I like to write, and yeah, I would love to, you know, write something. I don't have a project right now I feel like that I'm super driven on. Right now, I think I just like continuing to experiment here and there. I like to paint. I like to, you know, sculpt and do little projects. I find that I get a lot of satisfaction from that sort of creativity. I do think that I want to just craft something a little more personal. I'm not sure that that's in the film realm. Like I say, it's a little tough to get that stuff off the ground. Yeah, I don't know. Just keep, you got to keep excited and engaged in creation and creativity, I think. And then hopefully that idea does come to me.
While in the film realm, it would have been an absolute waste of an opportunity to not ask Cam for movie recommendations.
I like thinking of this kind of stuff. This is a lot of what my job is.
I decided to ask what he would recommend for people trying to find their way in the world after graduating.
Okay, one I will say that I find is a total inspiration for me is Joanna Hogg. She didn't start in film until she was 40. Her first film, Unrelated, I think is tremendous.
I just think men and women are always bound to be unfaithful. I really think that.
You're probably right. But doesn't mean to say that...
So why get married?
David Gordon Green's George Washington.
What do you want me to say? It's too late. Stop saying that. Can I kiss you one last time?
I mean, a great just formal one is the silent version of Blackmail. Blackmail is also fascinating because he made a sound version and a silent version. So you can, if you're a real sicko like me, you can watch both and decide what's what. The kind of innovator of mumblecore, Andrew Bajalski. Him at peak mumblecore before he does a little more mainstream in a lot of his aesthetics is the film Beeswax. Stars a pair of twin sisters who are non-actors. They are so good.
I missed it. Can we go back? I never heard a cat, dude.
Are you two twins?
Yeah.
I'm not.
I'm going to suggest one that's a little more fun, which is Don't Let the River Beast Get You, which is by Matt Farley.
For years, he was trapped in his underwater lair. Hungering for freedom. Hungering for meat.
Okay, put away your Letterboxd watch list or pause the episode until you've finished updating it with those movies, because you're going to want to listen to Cam's next piece of advice. How can we stay motivated after graduation when work is feeling like a grind, or when we're still trying to find our place in the industry?
What are you passionate about? What drives you to want to do this work? Because it can be something very specific.
Cam gave a great example. Take a director of photography or cinematographer. They're called the DP on set and are the person responsible for creating the look of a film.
I know a lot of DPs are, it's like they can work on a whole thing they don't like if they get to do one shot that matters to them, that's trying something new. They get to try one new lens that will drive them through an entire show. And I think that matters because that is the fuel. And luckily, I think you do come out of school with a lot of that fuel. You're just excited to try to like get things done. I would also say really focus on where you think your talent lies, even if it's something mundane. My big thing I would say is just keep making stuff with your friends. Just constantly make stuff. That's the big difference when I graduated to now, is that, you know, we all have a little camera in our pocket now and we all can upload it to YouTube. So I think it matters so much to me when I meet a filmmaker and can just see that they just have a ton of stuff. And as silly as the like 48-hour film festivals and things are, they're fun. Just knock it out. Have fun with your friends. Develop your style. Film is really collaboration. So especially if you're heading towards graduation and stuff, like go to the contemporary arts music concerts, meet the people who make the music, meet the people who are acting. It's a lot easier to get things done if you have all of these people, if you inspire each other. Just use the energy you've got. It's obviously we live in a horrible, the end of capitalism, but you gotta support each other. It's a community.
I think that says it all. Fade out. Roll end credits.
Big thanks to Cameron Maitland for sharing this conversation on creativity, keeping your passion alive, and finding your place in the film industry. You can find his work over at Hollywood Suite. FCAT After School is produced by Emma Jean, Torian Cafferata, and Stephanie Werner, with help from Stu Pop and Tessa Perkins Deneau. We respectfully acknowledge the Musqueam, Squamish, Tsleil-Waututh, Katsi, Kwikwitlam, Kakite, Kwantlen, Semiamu, and Sawasins peoples on whose unceded traditional territories our three campuses reside, and where many of the stories shared in our series take place. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure to leave us a rating and subscribe to FCAT After School wherever you listen to podcasts. You can follow us on social media at FCAT at SFU. That's FCAT at SFU across all platforms. For feedback or guest suggestions, reach us by email at fcateng@sfu.ca. All links in the show notes. See you next time.
Looking for a community who will support you on your academic journey? The Student Learning Commons has got your back. The Student Learning Commons is SFU's Academic Success Center. We provide free workshops, one-on-one consultations, coaching, and online tutoring with a focus on writing, study skills, and academic English. All Student Learning Commons programs and services are available to SFU students and are approved by SFU as providing ethical, academically honest support. Learn more by visiting our locations in the library on all three SFU campuses, or check us out online at learningcommons.sfu.ca. Thank you.
Lot of gratitude. For you, dear listener, perhaps no one has told you how awesome you are this week, how incredibly thoughtful, caring, and community-minded you are. I'm Celia, host of Free Voices on Thursdays at 3 p.m., and on behalf of everyone here at 90.1 FM, allow me to fill your cup with goodness. Allow yourself to soak up the great tunes, good vibes, and warm, fuzzy feelings as our compliment to you for being so awesome. Thank you.
Hello, and welcome to Rabble Radio. It's Friday, May 3rd, 2024. I'm Doyle. Thanks so much for tuning in. Rabble's got its finger on the beat of the issues that matter to you. If you're curious about the latest news in Canadian politics, labor, environment, or social justice, you've come to the right place. This is news for the rest of us, free of wins. It's Asian Heritage Month in Canada, and this month we're very excited to bring you a two-part discussion on the history of Asian labor in Canada. Over the next 2 weeks, we'll be sharing a conversation between Rabble's own labor reporter, Kia Lucera,